Hello and welcome to Just Marcus 365. My name is Shay and today is April 12th, 2019. Well, happy Friday to everyone, and we have some green today here in the market. So we'll go through the indexes here real quick and then talk about the Dow a little bit. So the Dow was up 269 points, almost 1%. NASDAQ was up 0.5% or 0.46, 0.4%. S&P 500 was up 0.66 basis points or 19 points. The Russell 2000 was also up about 36 basis points. And we had the global Dow that was up almost 0.5%. Europe, we saw Europe mostly fire for the day. The FTSE 100 was up 26 basis points. The DAX Germany was up about 0.5%. France, the Euro 600, they were all flat for the day. And we had the Hang Seng that was up 24 bips. And the Japanese index was up about 73 basis points. The Nikkei 225. So let's talk about the yield curve now. So the 30-year Treasury ended the week at about 2.97 yield. It was up about 5 basis points today. And then it was up about almost 7 basis points for the week. The 30-year ended the week at 2.56, up 7 basis points today. And it really started the week about 2.5, so up about almost 7 basis points. The 7, about it was up almost about 7 basis points as well today, so at 2.47. So what we're seeing is that the front end of the curve is moving up, the yields are moving up, and where we have the front end, the shorter maturities, the 1 month, the 3 month, and the 6 months up to, I would say, 1 year, really did not have much of a change this week, only about one basis points on the 1 to 3 months, and then you had the 1 month up about three basis points today. So really not a whole lot of movement on the front of the curve, but you had a major movement on the back end, on the longer end of the curve, which is really helping the yield curve move back to normalization, where the longer end of the curve yields higher than the shorter end. But we still have the 2, the 3, and the 4, and the 5-year Treasury still yielding less than the front of the end of the curve, which is 1 month to 1 year. Go over the mortgage rates just a little bit here. We have the 30-year mortgage, which ended the week at about 4.16. Its 52-week high was 4.99. So they have definitely come down a lot. We have the 15-year mortgage, which ended the week around 3.64, and its high was 4.34. So both the 15 and the 30-year have come down a lot. So that should stimulate some home buying, hopefully, here. And then you have the jumbo mortgage rate at 4.42. At this week's end, and that came down from 5.16 from a 52-week high. So all the mortgage rates have come down a lot from its high. That should stimulate some home buying, and that should definitely stimulate the economy here. So let's talk about what's going on with yields here. So we're seeing that bond prices in treasuries are dropping and yields are rising. So remember, a bond price and interest rates are inversely related. When yields go up, prices drop. When prices go up, yields drop, right? So why are they dropping? It's because you have a lot of economic data that's coming out and showing that the economy is much stronger than initially thought, right? So that's why you're seeing the weekly jobless claims, the inflation data, the labor information, the employment data. That's all we've been talking about all past week and a half. It's showing all the signs of a stronger economy than initially expected. So now that we're done with the yields, let's talk about the Dow and the S&P 500. Now the S&P 500 was up 0.5%, but the Dow was up 1%. Now the main reason why that is because the Dow is a price-weighted index and the S&P is a market cap-weighted index. Now when a company in the Dow that has a pretty large price, like a Apple, like a Boeing, or like the Walt Disney Company today, if they have a significant move upwards, that has a much larger impact on the Dow price versus in the S&P 500, it depends on the market cap only, right? So that's why you're seeing such a huge discrepancy between the two. And of course, the S&P 500 is a broad-based index. So it has 500 companies, where the Dow Industrial Average only has 30. So it's one of the main reasons why you're seeing that. Now, let's go into what happened at Walt Disney Company. So today, Disney announced their streaming service that had been rumored for many, many months now. So they announced that they're going to have a $7 a month streaming service that's going to help them retain a lot of that revenue that they've been losing with ESPN, other businesses. And this was great news for Walt Disney. The pricing point looks pretty good. And a lot of analysts feel that they're going to take away some market share from Netflix. And that will probably help Disney increase its growth rate. I probably don't have to remind you, but Disney has a major catalog of media and content, right? They have the superheroes with Marvel. They have Star Wars. They have endless cartoons and princesses. So they can gear their content towards kids and young adults and adults that are kids like me that enjoy all that stuff still. And I think that they can make this a real business. As long as they can execute on this, this will work. Now, Bob Iger has really never gotten into this business before, right? So we don't know on how well they will do. But as long as the interface is good, as long as the content makes sense and is stable and it's reliable, this business could work for the Walt Disney Company and its shareholders. Now, for the main reason why the market popped today was because of JP Morgan and its revenue and its earnings. So JP Morgan reported much better than expected earnings and revenue, and it was great because the entire financial sector did well because of it. And it showed that because of rates moving up, they were able to earn more interest income. That really, really helped their business. So if this continues in other sectors of manufacturing, industrial, mining, energy, technology, if all this continues, this is a good sign for the economy, and it's a great sign for the market as a whole. So we had the consumer sentiment data that was released today, and it came in at about 96.9. The March number was 98.4. The average economist estimate was around 97. And last year, we had a high of 101.4. So the trend for this number right now, for the consumer sentiment number, is declining, right? So what does that mean? This means that consumers are not as happy right now as they were last year. Now, you may ask, why aren't they happy? Well, first, the effects of the tax cuts are weighing off, and that is important to understand. You know, the withholding that you had in the paychecks, now it's been priced in. Everybody expects that. So that is partially why this number is probably coming down. The enthusiasm is coming down. The next part is that you still have home prices that are rising regionally, and you have, you know, cars that are costing more to buy, right? You know, we are currently at an annual rate selling only about 17.5 million cars. That's what we talked about last week. So you're seeing the price of cars is really affecting the consumer, their ability to buy. And a lot of that has to do with truly are the tariffs, right? And they're really affecting the aluminum, the steel that goes into these cars is really costing a lot more. And that is increasing the price of cars. And of course, many of the cars are still imported or parts are, and that is also affecting this, you know, consumer behavior, right? So those are the few things. Now, they are happy about, I would say, about the rising incomes because wages are finally rising, which is a really, really good sign. And inflation stable, right? So consumers do see inflation pressures, you know, as they, you know, purchase things from retail side. Everybody expects now that gas prices at the pump are going to be always volatile. That's kind of expected. So the consumer is almost immune to it these days, but it does affect their spending habits a little bit. But as far as the inflation number is concerned, nobody's really complaining about inflation. Now, let's see on how the bond market is reacting to this data point. So what we're seeing is that on the 10-year, The 10-year is up about almost 5 basis points to 2.54. The 7-year, another 5 or 6 basis points. So you're seeing that the 5-year is up about almost 6 basis points as well. So you're seeing that the longer end of the curve is now moving up. So the market is seeing that the drift in long-term yields is higher. So really, we're getting away from the inverted yield curve now, and we are getting back to an upward sloping. We're not there yet. We still have the 5-year, the 4-year, and the 2, and you know that part of the curve that's still, I would say, below the front end of the curve. So that area still has a lot of work to do, but the front end has already moved the other way. So that's a good sign for the economy that the yield curve is moving in the right direction. It's not a parallel move, but it's definitely moving on the longer end, right? So that's a good sign. Well, this will bring end to our podcast this week and today. And we'll talk this weekend about Uber and Lyft and go into some additional information that we haven't talked about this week. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast. Please rate us 5 stars and subscribe. Until this weekend, take care, and I'll see you guys soon. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.